What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the fifth episode of Let's Talk Real UX with Paul Spry. And today, we are going to be talking about the prototyping stage. Let's get it. All right, guys, so let's just jump right into the prototyping stage. And in this stage, I like to focus on three things. One, rapid prototyping sketches, user flows, and then getting that feedback and that constructive criticism that you need to move forward into the producing stage. So jumping right into the rapid prototyping stage, I like to start with sketches. I don't think prototyping or rapid prototyping should be done anywhere else. It's called rapid prototyping for a reason. You're sketching something off the top of your head, off the top of the idea, and you're just putting it on paper. And one method that I like to use is the 842 sketch model. And I'm a strong advocate for this sketch model. For those of you who hear me talk and know me, I really like to emphasize this model, and it's not very commonly used in the industry. And I think that people, when they start rapid prototyping sketching, they need to start applying this model. So what I mean by the 842 sketch model is you have an idea, right? You're conceiving an app, and you're thinking about all the different possible screens in it, and you're going crazy. But narrow your mind down, calm your senses, and just don't think about any of the complexities, the inevitable errors that will happen, this error messages, the transitions. Don't worry about all that extra crap. Just think about the main stuff. What's the goal? Okay, what's the feature? What's the main objective for this app or website or whatever? Whatever. The 842 sketch model, I like to use more for apps, but we're going to go with it anyways just because I think it's extremely important. So, eight. The eight stands for eight screens. So, you have 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, whatever you feel comfortable with, and you have eight potential screen. So I usually just take, you know, I just take an 8 by 11 piece of paper, divide it into eight parts, and there are your rapid prototyping screens. So you have 15 minutes. Get down eight screens on this app that you can quickly think of in a sequential order. So like, okay, you start here. You start on this screen, then you start on this screen, and then you go to this screen, and then you go to this screen, until you get to eight screens. Don't think about any errors, like I said, no transitions, nothing. Just think about the main purposes, the main flow of this specific app idea. After you get these eight screens down, you get feedback right away. So you ask someone, this is one thing I actually did in class, shared in college, did a great job doing this. One thing we did there was you get the feedback at a peer next to you, or just someone next to you, someone who's doing it with you, whatever, someone around, and you ask them, hey, what do you think of this app? What do you think of these screens? What can I improve? What do you think you need? What do you think is important? Just general feedback, okay? The four. Now, this is when it gets a little fun. I mean, the whole thing's fun, but this is when it gets tricky. Take those eight screens that you have and put those into four screens. And I know some of you are probably thinking, that is insane. How am I supposed to get eight screens into four screens? Well, it's easy. All you have to do is just really think about it. Really think about it. What can you possibly do to two screens to make it one screen? You know, can you put a date input at the top of the screen and then put the next screen on the bottom of it to maintain an easier flow for the audience? You know, just even if it's applying a hamburger icon, you know, what are you going to get creative with to allow the user to have a very pleasant experience with four screens that they can see? And this is really fun. It really gets to see how creative you are. You know, it really gets to see what's important. That's the biggest thing. What really is important to have its own screen?
you know? So having only four screens to go off, that really, it puts things into perspective on what this app is actually doing. So after squishing it into four screens, can you guess what's next? Two screens. Now, two screens I sometimes even have trouble with, because two screens is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. But it's possible. Depending on your app idea, it is doable. So, and mind you, you can put a hamburger icon in there, okay? You can put whatever you need. I don't really suggest doing hamburger icons, because anyone could just do a home screen and then hide everything in the hamburger icons and call it two screens and call it a day. But try your best. Try your best to fit this thing into two screens. And keep in mind, this isn't two screens. This isn't like the two screens that are going to make it to the end, okay? This is just rapid prototyping. This is just narrowing your mind and seeing what's important, what's not important, what's essential, what does your mind quickly think of as the essentials, okay? So one thing you have to know is you should go with your gut on this one. If you think this is important, throw it in there. If you are questioning it, leave it out. This is about narrowing your mind down. So the two screens, you have two screens, you see a bunch of stuff in there, and now your brain could properly think, okay, my whole app just fit into these two screens. You see what's there, and now you can move forward. Now then, when you're finished this, you just always ask yourself a couple questions. Examples being like, okay, well, like, what features or functions did I decide to keep? Why? Why did you decide to keep them? Or what navigations or features did I choose to hide? So these questions you should ask yourself just to keep always maintain clear communication with yourself and for the feedback that you're receiving from others. So that's the 842 prototype sketch model that I like to do only for rapid prototyping. This is only done for rapid prototyping, because clearly to create the user flows, you have to maintain and deliver all of the stages of the user's journey. So, you know, this could kind of go into data flow, but you want to, for user flows, you have to get every action in there so the developers could have a true and honest view of what is actually happening and what could happen. You have to kind of allow for every decision to be made there. And for prototyping, another thing that I like to do is create yourself a timeline. There's nothing wrong with creating a timeline with your project. And as a designer, you know, sometimes you can get fancy and you can make an elaborate timeline. But just say, like, okay, the start date, you know, website start. That's what I'm going to do. In a week, this is going to do, you're going to show a mood board to the client. And a mood board, I can get into, if you have any questions about what mood boards is, just send me a response. Ask me any questions you have. But mood board, empathy maps, those are very, very important if you have to show that you're understanding your client. To show that you're truly understanding who they are. Basically a collage of different things to illustrate who the client is. You know, and then maybe a week later you present the journey maps, the user diagrams, you present some flow charts, you present a storyboard, you present some mock-ups, and then finally you have the version of the app or website that you want to launch. So the whole purpose of this timeline is you have to start thinking macro. You have to think macro, and then you'll see and visualize all the micro that you have underneath. So then you can get it clear in your head on what you really need to do. Also, part of the prototyping stage that I like to touch on is the user flows. So I quickly mentioned on the previous episodes, one of the previous episodes, that a user flow is basically pointing the user from point A to point B. And I think I mentioned a Bob going to Rogers and something happens. He gets overcharged and he wants to complain. So he goes to this website or he goes to Google and he does his thing and he complains. And that's the user flow, and that's what you have to account for. But if you're analyzing a website, for example, and if you're not really sure how to do user flows, try doing a user flow looking at another website. So for example, if you don't want to make your own user flow, you don't really know what to do there, go to Rogers.com, or go to a simple website, Anchor, for example, and think of a user flow. So, okay, me as the user, I want to create a podcast. So what will I click on Anchor.com to allow me to create a podcast or create an account? Or determine in yourself what the task is and then create the flow that you're just illustrating the flow. Point A to point B to point C to point D, and you keep going. So if you're not sure on how to do this towards yourself, like I just said, do it towards a website and really analyze it. So a good practice that I like to encourage is go to a website and look at the current flow, okay? So decide what you want to do, and you do the current flow, okay? So you do this, and then you do, and then you put in this field, and then you put in your name here, and just do the flow, and then when you're finished that, and then when you're finished doing the flow on that specific website, and you think it's like as much as you want, and as good as it's gonna get, now you see what you didn't like about the flow. So now you're analyzing that flow into your ideal, optimal flow. So now, taking that original flow, you can create a better flow that will allow users a better time and a better experience ultimately. And that's, I think, is crucial to UX, because if you have to be able to look at something and determine whether it's a good flow or not, and how you can do to fix it. So it's one thing to know what's wrong with it, but what are you going to do to fix it? So this is very good practice when it comes to analyzing competitors' flows, and then seeing how you can do a better job at it. So a little sidetracked. When you're doing user flows in the prototyping stage, this is exactly kind of what you want to do. You just have to illustrate what you want to, what the, you know, the purpose of it is, you know, why you're doing it, and just illustrate it into little blocks. My website, pauljspragg.com, has a nice example of a competitive user flow analysis. And you can see what I liked about a flow, what I didn't like about a flow, what I did to fix it in a better UX, better user experience. And also, I decided to put in a timeline illustration of what exactly I meant by that as well. So you can go to my website, pauljspragg.com, and you can definitely take a look there for your own interests. Leave any feedback, any comments, whatever. Let me know what you think, and we can definitely talk about it in further detail. So to wrap things up, prototyping stage, you know, it's the rapid prototyping sketches. You want to always have user flows and always see what you can do towards the user flow, whether it's the current one, the past one, the previous one, I mean, the future one that you're wanting to fix. User flows are very important in this prototyping stage. And then always gaining feedback, always having continuous communication and determining the solutions from that pushback, being able to move forward from there. Next podcast, I'm going to be touching base with the producing stage. And that's where we're getting to all the clickable wireframes, turning those sketches into something that you work with online. I'll go over some tools that I like to use. And finally, how important the high fidelity mockups are to winning that client's trust over and ultimately having that successful product. So until next time, I really hope this was informatic for you, if that's a word. And I really hope that you enjoyed this podcast. Leave a comment, leave a voice note, tweet me, Paul J. Spry. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, I will be there to answer you 100%. And until then, keep planning and keep prototyping, and I'll tell you exactly how to do the producing tomorrow. All right, peace.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.